All right, if I can bring you back together here, thank you for taking time to think on that. I'm not going to ask you to share on this one tonight, but I know that asking the question percolates a bit. Like, I don't know, have I just thought about it? Have I made some steps in this direction? Let this be a nudge, and I can encourage you to make use as well of this booklet, if you haven't picked one up yet, to help fill in. In fact, those very questions are on there as a way to help you take steps in this direction. So please use that if that's helpful to you. What's next? Maybe you're tired of seeing this text, but I'm going to put it up here for you again, because all that we've been talking about is rooted in this, in the modeling of God, in his directives based in creation. The end of chapter 1 wraps up God saying, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested, or he Sabbathed, from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested, he Sabbathed, from all the work of creating that he had done. By raise of hands, who thinks God was tired? Raise your hands if you think yes, God was tired. Okay, raise your hand if you think no, God was not tired. I have no theological reason to answer for sure one way or the other, so I don't know. But in any case, I don't think it's the reason that he rested. If he's the God of heaven and earth that is almighty and all-powerful, I don't think he was worn out. And yet, he rested. I don't think it's like us. If we had been making and lifting and doing and hauling and whatever else to be able to make that, that we would be worn out. I don't think he was like that. It's not the God that I see laid out in Scripture. I don't think he was tired. And yet, he Sabbathed. Let that soak in for a sec. He wasn't worn out at the end of the week, I don't think. It's not because he lacked strength to keep going. And yet, he, God, Sabbathed. So what was he doing? Delighting. Much like if you have finished a project, like all the cookies have been made and frosted and beautiful, and they're all across the counter, and you just step back and be like, ah, it's good. Or I finished the woodworking project, and the table's all put together, and it's been varnished, and all the pieces, and it's there, and you're like, yeah, look at that. Or the garden's been planted, and all the little sprigs are in there, and you step back and be like, oh, think about what this is going to be. You sit back and delight. You pause and enjoy what's done, what's good. I also realized that after this day, it's not like God was like, you know, I have no idea what else to do, because all my things were already done on day 6, and so I rested on the seventh day, and I spent all the rest of the days being like, I don't know what to do, because I'm all done. No, he had things he did. He continued to work. It's not that he was out of things to do, or out of ideas, or out of things to do to be able to maintain and sustain and continue to bring good and positive things for the world, but rather he is setting his priorities on one of 7 days. Sabbathing is a more important thing to do than advancing all of the other things. It's not because he's tired. It's not because he was done. It's because he was saying it's important to delight. If you've got Psalm 1 nearby to you, if you want to open it up in the Pew Bible, I want to direct you to a couple of the verses in there. Psalm 1, it's kind of right in the middle if you've got the Pew Bible there, or probably in all the Bibles it is, but page 842, 843 actually is where it lands if you're in this copy of it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Be awesome to never have to water your garden because it's next to a river that waters it all the amount that it needs all the time. And so it always is able to have all that it needs to bear all the fruit that it could do. And so he's saying, like, you want to be fruitful? Delight in the law of the Lord. There is fruit to be found in this again and again and again. His leaf does not wither. It yields its fruit in season. He's inviting us to delight in his word. So if there's a place to begin in delighting, I mean, stop, rest, delight. So in this delight aspect of Sabbath, delight in his word is what it says here in Psalm 1. And as I hear those words, I wonder to myself, how often do I hear just the facts? Like, yep, Jesus died on the cross. Yep, he rose again for my sins. Yep, I confessed and I have been forgiven again today. I hear the facts. But how often do you let the facts actually move you to feel something? Do you ever think about what the look in God's eye might be as he says, I forgive you? You think of that day. I mean, there's songs that have been written about this. You know, there will be a day and when I see him face to face and all that. Like, what would his face look like? I wonder whether it would just be, like, gentle, tender, welcoming. Like, his one that he's longed to see, that he almost blush at the thought of you. That he longed to hold you in his arms, that he delights to hear your voice because when he looks at you, he sees the perfection of his son in you. You are made in his image. How often do you chew on those words enough that they actually let you feel something? Sometimes it's through music that it allows me to think a bit more deeply on those things and be moved to beyond just the thought of it, to the heart behind it. But not just delight in his word, I mean, as God is delighting in all that's been made, there's a certain delight that we can have in being in him. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. We are the branches. We're a part of him. Just pause in that for a sec. You are connected to the God of all the universe, the God who, in a moment, made things. You are entrusted with his Spirit, given to you in baptism, empowering you with the power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Power to forgive in your hands. Power to wield the power of God, to call on him to act. Power that transforms hard hearts in ways that we never could by force of will. But I also see in that Genesis text, a God that's looking at the world around him and being like, yes, this is awesome. I mean, at the end of the sixth day, he said it is not just good, but very good. So we can delight not just in his word and in God himself, but in the world around him, the nature and birds and stars and flowers, the breeze, the provision of a job or family or friends, or maybe for you a spouse or children or maybe grandchildren. To delight and to think on and to actually enjoy good food and a warm house, a body that can move and think or craft or create. I mean, if you're looking to delight, I think you just kind of work your way through the five senses. What can I taste? What can I touch? What can I hear or see or smell? Because they're all gifts to enjoy. My sense is God's directive to this is because he knew us inside and out and how sin had affected our lives. Neuroscientists tell us that the mind is drawn to negative things over positive ones at a rate of 14 to 1. How's that for crazy? 14 to 1, negative things to positive things. 14 times more likely to think the glass is half empty rather than half full. And even as you look in Scripture, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Trouble's a given. Delight is not. But it is a directive. It is an invitation that he gives. And on the Sabbath, we mitigate against this inclination in our brain. The Sabbath command to remember the Sabbath is a command to remember just how many blessings do populate our lives. But it's not just a thinking thing. It is an enjoying thing. So for those of you, I remember maybe the first day we talked about Sabbath, and what do you think about it? Well, it's the day that I'm going to miss doing fun stuff. No, friends. This is not the day where you're missing out doing fun stuff. This is the day where you do fun stuff. This is the day where you get to enjoy things. In fact, it is a discipline of celebrating and of doing things that enjoy. It becomes a delivery mechanism for joy. It is recreation at its best, as in do the things that recreate you. Ever thought about that? Recreation is the things that recreate me. It's not a day where you can't whatever, which is some of our experience, particularly if you grew up in Jenison or this area. This is a day where you're not allowed to do stuff. No, it's a day where you get to. A day filled with get-tos. So, like, what could that be for you? I know I've often asked you to talk right away. I'm going to lean to the introverts tonight, and I'm going to encourage you to write this time. So let me put the question up there. What could you do for 24 hours that would fill you with joy? I'm just going to give you a minute to write on it. I'm going to put a couple slides up here of ideas. There's two of them, and I'll toggle between them. That you might do. This is a list that I pulled from another author, and there's 20 different things here. Maybe this just helps spark your thoughts. So take a minute and write. What could you do for 24 hours that would fill you with joy? You've got a few things written down there. I want to encourage you to put a 1, 2, and a 3 next to the ones that you think are the best ideas or the things that would be the top things you'd want to do. Because as you're planning Sabbath, you probably can't do it all. But there'll be a next Sabbath coming the next week. So put some further down on the list. But pick 1 to 3 that you might do the next time that you set aside time to Sabbath. And in order that you might actually protect that, the question is, what will you avoid during your Sabbath? And this is where we could get a sideways a bit and be like, we can't do this, you can't do that. No. The question is, what boundaries should I put in place so that I can enjoy the things that I intend to enjoy, the things that would bring delight, that would fill me with joy? What are the things that would distract me from that or keep me from that? And so it's not so much a rule, but boundaries to protect so that I can receive this gift. And in some ways, you can just work your way back through the definition of Sabbath, those four parts. Is it something where I'm stopping? Is it something where I'm also resting? Is this delighting? Is this worshiping? Like, is it stopping? Is it what I normally do in the course of a week? Like, if you're in, let's say, a job where you're in a management position, maybe it's best that you save the planning and decision kind of stuff for another time, whether for your work or for your family, because you do a lot of that stuff in the course of your week. Or maybe if you work more a physical labor kind of job that doesn't require lots of decisions, and you love planning and dreaming, then go for it on your Sabbath. It's something that fills your cup, and it isn't what you normally do for work. Or for delighting, maybe the question is, like, does this spark joy in you? I know one conversation I had with someone was, like, I love organizing stuff. Like to be able to like get a closet like all put together perfect, like that brings me joy. Go for it. That's fine. That would not bring me any joy. But the question for you, and if you're uncertain, if you're on the fence, try it. I don't know. Figure it out. And then the question you want to ask yourself is, does it actually energize me? Do I actually see this as a get-to? Or am I accomplishing the task because I never get to it otherwise and I really want to get it checked off? So there's a different kind of joy there. I get it. A completed job brings you joy, but this is something that's joy and delight for you. So let me give you a minute again. What do you want to avoid doing during your Sabbath, please? Right. Here's a couple ideas of what you might avoid. Again, I want to challenge you not to take on the world in all of this. So as you look back at one list, at that list, whatever it might be, put a star next to just one thing. Small steps are steps, and a step in the right direction is a great progress. So don't aim to eliminate everything, potentially, but what's low-hanging fruit? What's doable? What can I eliminate for now and see how it works? The goal is delight. The goal isn't that I'm not doing all these things. The goal is that I actually delight in the things that God has given me. Some people find that for the sake of maintaining these kinds of things, because like for them, the author that I looked at, he's like, hey, watching TV gets me away from the interactions with people that are greater delight for me, so I don't want to watch TV. Somebody else, checking notifications leads me to not only see news stuff that causes me stress and anxiety, but also work things that remind me of the Monday stuff that's to come, and so that I don't have to think about that kind of stuff for this day, I want to put that stuff away. There's a practice that maybe you want to embrace so that you can put these into place. It's called a Sabbath box. And so I would take maybe the TV remote or my cell phone or my to-do list, or maybe I would take a sheet of paper and empty my mind of all the things that I'm worried about or all the to-dos that I don't want to forget about, and I tuck all these things away in a box at the beginning of Sabbath and literally close it up and say, all right, Lord, you take these things and you hold them in your hands. I'm going to trust that you've got them through the day so that I can enjoy the delight that you want to give me. And so it is a physical way of me putting that there. And then they begin their feast. They may light a candle or enjoy the things that they want to play or whatever that is that they plan to do. Friends, we're getting the Sabbath wrong if we think it's just a somber day to do nothing. But we also get it wrong if we also think it's just a day to kick back and relax and sleep. It's a day to give yourself to joy, to give yourself permission to feel joy, to choose joy, to enjoy, to delight in the way that God did on the seventh day of creation. So again, if you haven't picked a time for this, if you haven't set it aside, even an hour or two, can I challenge you and encourage you to do that this week? One last thought before we go. The path to delight might be through sadness. I've learned it's so common they actually have a name for it. They call it Sabbath sadness. And I found advice really helpful. Again, John Mark Comer is where this comes from. I want to read to you a segment from what he's got there. He says, because of overwork or overactivity during the previous 6 days on the Sabbath, we crash. Our nervous systems goes through withdrawal, and our body is just in a slump. And so often on a Sabbath, we have space and in the quiets to breathe, and in that space, the feelings that we've been running away from all week catch up to us. And the key is to not fight the Sabbath sadness or to discourage it as if, like, I'm doing this wrong or Sabbath isn't working. But rather, he says, to let it pass over you like a wave. For Jesus' desire for us isn't to bypass our pain or to get stuck in it, but rather to go through it and in time come out on the other side, much as Jesus did his death and then his resurrection, come out on the other side. It's a pattern that's been laid out for him. Delight is not the denial of pain, but a determination to move through pain courageously and honestly and patiently into joy. In some ways, that's the beauty of why Sabbath comes once every 7 days, to remind us that the goodness of life with God in all the seasons of our lives, including the ones that don't feel good, is still possible. Sabbath comes at the end of a great week, fantastic. It comes at the end of a lousy week, fine. When work is all finished on the to-do list, fantastic. When you're woefully behind on everything, that's fine too. When all is well or when all is falling apart, it reminds us that it's okay, that we're not okay. And those seasons where everything feels dark, when our prayers aren't answered and our dreams seen over, when God's absence seems more our experience than his presence, Sabbath still comes. And with it, a sense of peace, trust in God despite our circumstances, not because of them. And it teaches us this habit of 1 in 7 days to be happy in all the seasons of life, or to follow in the words of Paul, to rejoice in the Lord always. Let's pray. God, we need you.